been listening to God in various ways over the last few weeks. So I must confess I've not been here in person to hear them. I've heard a lot of them on the web. So it's something just to remind you about. If you miss something, then that's the way to hear it again. And it just persists. Sometimes you get cracky beginnings on the web, but just keep persisting and it gets all right. Okay, so today we're listening to God through the Bible. Now, you recognise that lady, the coronation, dressed in all sorts of fabulous stuff. So some of it's so valuable that it's locked away in the Tower of London for most of the time. And they have replicas out, really valuable stuff in a crown and an orb and a sceptre and all that sort of stuff. But she's given something else at the coronation. And she is told that this that she is given is the most valuable thing this earth affords. The most valuable thing this earth affords. And it is? Oh, you all know, hooray. Brilliant, the Bible. And so it's good for us to sort of think, well, why should that be so? Why is that more valuable than all this clobber she's been given? Well, of course, the Bible is an absolutely incredible book. Or actually, of course, it's not a book at all. It's 66 books. And we need to realise this. We had a whole series of teaching a year or so ago, didn't we, about the Bible and the different parts of the Bible, what it's all about. 66 books written over 1,000 years by loads of different people, different personalities, different approaches, different sorts of writing, different times. There's the most incredible diversity between these covers. And we need to keep on recognising that diversity in that between those covers. Keep on saying that. I get a bit cross when people talk about this is from the book of Romans. It's not. It is a letter. It's written by Paul, a particular person. It's written to a particular group of people, the Christians at Rome. And it's really only as we understand that, that we get some of the depth of what's going on that enables God to speak to us most profoundly. Sorry, I'm going to do one or two other negatives before I start, but here's another one, and I apologise to anyone who perhaps finds that difficult. So here is, we also talk about the Bible as the Word of God. That's right, that's fine. What do we mean by that? We mean that this is inspired by God. God breathed, a famous verse in 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we believe that God used all these different people and all these different circumstances to speak through them to us. Sorry, something's booming. Is this the trouble? No. It means that, it doesn't mean God dictated it in the way that Muslims believe that the Quran was dictated. And we need to realise that. For Muslims talking, he says, God said this, this and this. It must be right because Muhammad couldn't read. Couldn't write either, apparently. But, I mean, that's not the point. The point is that it was dictated. And we don't believe, as Christians, that God dictated it in quite that kind of way. He spoke through those people with their differences to us, all their personalities, all their foibles and things. Something else there can be a problem about, I think, and that is taking a verse of the Bible out of context. I don't know who put the verse numbers in the Bible, but it was very recently, and it certainly wasn't the people who wrote it. And if we can be careful, we take things out of their context. Because you can prove anything if you do that. I'm sure you probably know this really silly story, but I think it makes the point about a depressed person who was suicidal. So he opened his Bible at random, and that is what he found. Oops. Is that what God's saying to me? Oh, but look somewhere else. Look where else we can... Oh. That must be wrong, mustn't it? Oh. Right, that's extreme. But the point is that if we just look at random, we can get the wrong message. And if we're not careful also, we can find what we want to hear, which isn't necessarily the same as what God wants us to hear. I'm just picking this as an example because I've heard this verse used very, very frequently recently. And it's a very good verse. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Anybody tell me where that comes from? Jeremiah. Good. That's a good start. Which bit of Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah is a very big book. Do you know exactly what the context of those verses are? It was a letter. He was writing a letter. This was after the Jews were exiled. Remember, the whole Jerusalem was destroyed and all the important people were sent off to Babylon. And they began exile. And that's a place of despondency, isn't it? A place of absolute despair. Jeremiah was stuck back in Jerusalem, but he was moved to write this letter to encourage the people who are exiles and to say, don't despair. And it's a very important word for people who are despairing. Of course, it is. But I think sometimes we major just on the optimistic, the hopeful, the upbeat things. Here's another bit of prophecy. This is another man, Micah. But it's a bit harder, isn't it? Because I woe with the noise of your songs. He's talking about people's worship. I won't listen to the music of your harps. Why? Because there's no justice. Because you're just doing the religious stuff, as it were, and not actually looking at some of the other deeper things that God requires that come out of worship. Justice and righteousness. That's a bit more of a challenge, isn't it? We're going to listen to both. The word of hope and encouragement, but we need to be aware also of the word that may be critical, the word that may challenge us. Okay, so if this is a book or series of books through which God speaks to us, how can we read it? And there are lots of different ways in which we can read the Bible, and it's important to get a balance of them. Now, back at before Christmas, Andrew was encouraging us to read the big picture, to read the Bible in a year. And that's quite a challenge. I've never actually managed it, I have to say, not in that kind of way. But it's important to read the big picture, the big story, the big chunks of it, as it were. So you understand what's the movement of the story. We understand the big themes that come over through the Bible as it develops. A very, very important way of reading Scripture. Here's another one. Theological study. This means you get your reference books out, you get your commentaries, you get your concordances. You really probe, you find what clever people, theologians over the centuries, have made of this. And you read it, and you discover it. Very, very useful. It's an in-depth study. It's a mental, it's a mind, academic study. Very, very important. So just remember that there are many people who are theologians, but not Christians. You can be academic in the mind, but not hear God speak. Very, very good. This is all part of the picture. And then there's what we call meditation, where we're specifically using it to listen to God speaking to us. And that anyone can do, in the sense that you don't have to be clever. But it takes time, it takes discipline, it takes effort. In particular, it takes time. probably a regular dedicated time, perhaps a dedicated place being set aside as a place where we can go when we specifically want to listen to God. Thing that when I was young was called a quiet time. Remember that. I found this book useful in my preparation. It's called Rhythms of Grace by Tony Horsfall, and the bit you probably can't read is Finding Intimacy with God in a Busy Life. It's a brilliant book, I think, actually. Just trying to find a quote. He says, meditating on scripture is different from Bible study. In Bible study, we seek to analyze a passage and understand it intellectually. When we meditate on scripture, we take just a small portion and seek to internalize it, making the meaning personal and looking for the impact it can have in our lives. We are seeking to allow the Word of God to sink down from our heads to our hearts, to transform and change us. We're listening to what God has to say to us today as individuals, rather than what he has to say in general to all people at all times. Meditation, listening to God. I'm sure lots of you know this book by Joyce Huggett, Listening to God. A classic's 30 years old now, but I think it's still quite a classic. So let's just think, here we are, let's think how we might do it. Again, there are different ways, and it's, you know, it's a good idea to try them all in time. Find out which is best for you, and then just keep changing them, because individual ways can get stale, can't they? So here's one that a lot of us were taught to use, I'm sure, as we were young, a published Bible reading scheme, Scripture Union, all those that are there. And now, of course, not just on bits of paper, but online. You can get them online, and there's other stuff which is just online, from UCB and Premier and so on. But the whole point of this is that you've got a structure which is given to you, and you've got some thoughts from other people who spent time meditating upon this same passage. And so it can help you with your own listening to God. And that is a really important way, I think, to, as a basic structure, actually, to what we do. And we may do other things as well, but I think this is a very good foundation structure. Joyce Huggett uses this term for another, more intense way, as it were, of reading scripture. She calls it super slow reading. And that is, you start reading a passage really slowly. You don't have an end point. You're not saying, I'm going to read this chapter or even this paragraph even, but I'm going to start reading this story or whatever it may be. Read it really slowly and just stop at key words and allow them to impact you. And just stop when God said enough, as it were. You've had enough to be listening at that point. Let it soak in. She speaks of reading the crucifixion story in Mark, and she read just two verses. She couldn't read anymore. The whole impact on her was so great. She just wanted to stop at that point. She was crying, she was weeping, because that picture was so huge, and she just wanted to relate to God through that just little bit. Much the same thing, but just a slight extension of this, is a method known as Lectio Divina, which means reading with God. And this goes back to St. Benedict, or founder of the order, a monastic order, and probably before him to people like Augustine. And this again is to take a single verse or a paragraph and to read it several times slowly, emphasizing the different words. She calls it reading with the mind in the heart. So here's a verse from Psalm 27. I will see the goodness of the Lord. And if you read this verse slowly and reflectively on these different emphases, I will see the goodness of the Lord. There's a different emphasis. I will see the goodness of the Lord. 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 That's very quick, obviously, but if you were to do that slowly and most of it, allow those emphases to soak in and hear what God can say to you through those different emphases. And lastly, we're going to look in a bit more detail at Ignatius. Ignatius was the founder of the Jesuits. And some people think the Jesuits have got a bit of a bad press, but it's a pity really. This man was a great spiritual man. And he developed what he called his spiritual exercises. And these relate particularly to the gospel stories, because the idea is to try and relive the gospel story by immersing yourself in that story as if you are a person in the story, that you are meeting Jesus in that story, that you are listening to what he is saying to you in that story. And I'm going to suggest we do that as an exercise now, if you can bear with us. It'll take about 10 minutes to do. So make yourself comfortable. All right, do with that reading that we had just now, that Peter and Sally read. Just don't look at it at the moment. That piece of paper is for you to take away with you. But it's also to use at the end of the meditation. If you've got a pen or writing implement of some kind, if you could fetch it out now, because at the end, I'm just going to ask you to just write down anything you feel God is saying to you. It's just a method, a way of honing in on that. This is perhaps a bit different. I hope you find it helpful. You may find you can go and do it on your own. You may find it doesn't work on your own. But here's a particular way of engaging with this particular story. So make yourself comfortable. That's really important that you're comfortable. And perhaps close your eyes or focus on something up behind me out of the way. Let's just get rid of those words. Perhaps have your hands open so that you're in a position of receiving what God has to offer you. It's early morning. The dew is still on the grass. It promises to be another hot day. Jesus and is asking you to spend the day with him along with Peter and John. He says he wants to take you up that mountain over there to pray with him. How do you feel about that? So you get ready and you set off together. That mountain looks very high. And as you walk along, Jesus, Peter and John, I wonder how they look. I wonder what you're about. It's getting quite a climb now. So you walk along in silence, just reflecting. And do you remember that it's just a week ago when Jesus was praying with you, that he asked you about who he was? And Peter blurted out about Jesus being Messiah. Just think about that for a minute and what you made of it. And then Jesus had said something about the Son of Man and being killed, and how his followers would have to take up their cross. What do you think he meant about that? Oh, you've made it to the top at last. But you're pretty exhausted. And now, Jesus expects you to pray with him. What are you praying about? It's hard to keep awake, really. There's no shade up here. It's so, so hot and bright. But look, what's happening to Jesus? And hang on, he's not alone. There are two other people with him. What are they talking about? Something about departure in Jerusalem. Just drink in that scene and your feelings. And now it looks as if the two men are about to leave. Peter wants to keep them there and offers to build some shelters for them. Know what he's going to build with in this barren place, goodness knows. And now there's a cloud. It's more like fog, really, enveloping you all. It's really chilly. Feel that cold. And then there's a voice. This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Who's that speaking? What does it mean? This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. The cloud lifts. And there's Jesus, just as he always is. No sign of anyone else. And he leads you back down the mountain. What are you thinking as you go back? But look, there's a crowd of people, really excited and noisy. There's a man, clearly desperate, dragging a boy behind him. Boy seems nearly uncontrollable. Please help, he says. This is my only child, and he has a spirit that won't leave him alone. He has terrible convulsions and foams at the mouth. No one can do anything, even your disciples. And the boy breaks free and throws himself on the ground in a terrible fit. What are you thinking now? Jesus is speaking again. Evil spirit, leave the boy. The boy gingerly gets up. He seems perfectly okay. His father's overcome with happiness and hugs his son. How are people around you reacting? But now Jesus is speaking again about the Son of Man being captured. It's bedtime, alone at last. Spend some time reflecting on the day. What is God wanting to tell you through all this? If you'd like to, just write on the sheet anything that you've particularly heard. It's only for you. Just write it down now. So perhaps this evening and later in the week, it'd be good to read that passage again and see, ponder what you've written. Read it slowly and reflectively. See what God may have been saying to you and any response that he wants you to make. And do what he says. There's no point if we listen unless we do what he says. So I hope that's been helpful in some way, and that out of that lot there's some way in which your own listening to God can be enhanced, directed. Two excellent books if you want a bit of help, and there are many others, of course, as well.